Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the half-year results 2020 of the LM Group conference call. I am Alice, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Niccolò Bossi, Head of IR. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone. Thanks for joining our first half of 2020 investor analyst conference call. Today I'm here with Sergio Signoretti, our CFO, that will guide us through the results of the first 6 months of the year and the actions taken to face the COVID-19 challenge, as well as the outcomes of the above mentioned actions. We will conclude then with a Q&A session, which will be open to all people connected. So now I give the stage to Sergio that will handle the presentation. Please, Sergio, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon all. I will start from the agenda. So basically, with a couple of comments about the context that we're facing prior to entering into the first half figures. So if you go to the context page, the first chart is representing what is the trend taken from IATA sources of the number of worldwide flights per week. You see that there has been a dramatic drop of both of the, as you know, of the domestic and international flight starting from the beginning of March. Now, in terms of Europe, the recovery started to appear from the month of May onwards, driven from the loosening of the restrictions of the various government, but it's limited to Europe, as you know. So it's very difficult to fly intercontinentally. Long-haul flights are basically very, very few. Impossible to fly over to the United States, to South America, to South Africa, or to Asia. So some recovery is there. You will see our curve in a couple of slides afterwards, which is actually steeper by the one which the market is experiencing, and we will comment about that. And if you go on, there is an interesting chart which is always taken from IATA sources, which is the combination of the worldwide restrictions, which are basically still there almost in any country. So there is a combination of, still restrictions, which of course limit the capability of mobility and of, traveling of the customers, of the people. Having said that, let's enter into our first half financial performance. So the first chart is interesting because it's the representation of the first semester in terms of the online travel agent bookings. You know that the OTA does approximately 85% of our revenues and margins. We started the year very well. We were at plus 15%, plus 22% in January, actually, versus last year. You remember last year was the record year for the Last Minute Group. Then a couple of days after we inaugurated our sponsorship and our partnership with the London Eye, that was really incredible in terms of timing. A couple of days after, the crisis of the COVID-19 in Lombardy came out, raises. So we started to decline in terms of volumes, and in 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, we basically lost the business. So you see that we've gone standstill from the last week of February to the last week of March, to a stunning minus 97%. We were at 0.6, but it was impossible to fly over. It was impossible, for the various government restrictions, and every airline had grounded the planes. This situation lasted from, I would say, the last week of March up to the second week of May. Then we started to recover quite significantly. So from the second half of May to the end of June, we have had a rate of 30% week-on-week increase on average, driven by the flight business. Actually, as you see, this curve is steeper than the market curve. We know that we have gained market share in this period with respect to other competitors, investing also, trying to be more aggressive on the pricing side in order to gain market share and to boost the recovery. And we have actually reached a minus 43% in the last week of June in terms of recovery. This is reflected, the overall curve is reflected into the revenue picture, which is indicated in the following chart, which of course takes into account the 1 month and a half done with zero volumes. So we closed the first semester with a minus 50% revenues versus last year, 83 million versus 166. You see that the OTA is the pink part, 68 million, which are detailed by type of product, by category on the right-hand side of the slide. So slightly more than 50% is flight business, 22 million is the dynamic package, 11 million is the other businesses like the hotel only and the tour operator reselling business. You see that the minus 50% is the LM group overall. There are and is basically corresponding to both the OTA and the Meta trend. The media business unit is suffering slightly more because, of course, it's very difficult to find advertisers in this moment available to invest on our properties in order to promote their services, given the fact that the traffic, of course, has declined. So this is the representation in terms of revenues, and the representation in terms of EBITDA is in the following chart. So still, we are business EBITDA positive, 4.5 million, but of course, we are seven times less than the record of the first half 2019, where we were at 35 million euro. So a minus 87%, which is also split by business unit. And that's, the representation in terms of figures at LM Group. Now, if we go to see the overall perspective at group level, at net result level, we go to the following page. You see that we closed first half with 23 million euro net loss. We have taken into account entirely the effect in terms of P&L of the cancellations of the flights and of the travel packages that we have received between March and the end of June. So that is accounted for entirely in the P&L in terms of offset of our markup commission, in terms of offset of any type of ancillary and value-added service revenue correlated to the booking that was impossible to fulfill, in terms of any type of incentives granted from the distributors or from the airlines attached to the single booking. And that count for 12 million euro out of the 12.7, which is indicated as extraordinary items. So out of the 12.7, 12 is the impact of the COVID-19 cancellations. Therefore, the reported EBITDA gets negative in terms of 13 million euro, and that influences strongly the picture, which has a swing of more than 30 million versus what was the result as of the first half 2019. First half 2019 was 12 million euro in terms of net earning. Now it turned to 23 million euro net loss. A couple of comments on the ventures. In the ventures figures 2.4, we have a couple of million euro of loss from Destination Italia. Destination Italia was actually targeted to reach break even this year prior to COVID. Of course, it's suffering as well due to the overall situation. And therefore, we are expecting the EBITDA break-even be shifted to 2021, second half, I would say, of 2021. That's the overall perspective in terms of profit and loss. And now we get to the cash. Then we will focus on the various actions that we have done in order to secure our cash during the crisis. Cash at the end of June is 133 million euro. You see that we have had a negative working capital absorption in the first semester of 11 million. That actually doesn't give you the full perspective of what has been the cash absorption of the peak period of the crisis. In those 2 months, we had a swing of working capital which amounts to 75 to 80 million euro. We'll get to that in a couple of slides. Which then is compensated by January and February, which were very positive. The company was growing at a 20% rate, as we commented before, and by the month of June, which has been very positive as well in terms of cash generation following the recovery that I was showing you with the volume curves. We have got approximately 58 million euro financings in order to build a safety net in order to protect the cash of the company in the first semester. That leads to financial liabilities, which are 105 million euro. They include approximately 10 million euro of IFRS 16 effect. So the overall financings are in the region of 95. Which is money that we owe to the bank, of course, to the various banks, given the fact that we've taken the decision, of course, to draw the various credit lines available in order to protect the business. Therefore, the net financial position is positive, 33 million euro as of the end of June versus 65 million euro as of the end of 2019. I will move on to the COVID-19 main actions that we have taken. Actually, as you can imagine, the challenge that we have faced during the COVID-19 crisis has been try to take the right decisions in order to protect the company in a situation where the velocity of the propagation and the magnitude of the crisis was spreading out so dramatically and so fast. So the amazing thing was the velocity, as you saw before. So lose the business basically in 4 to 5 weeks was not easy to manage and was not easy to face. Of course, our first objective was secure the company through securing cash in order to ensure that the company was having all the needed financial resources in order to face the crisis. That was our main challenge. We have done, therefore, a massive cash protection program that we're going to illustrate to you in a minute. And also, we have limited the impact on the, of course, there has been a massive impact in terms of loss of profitability, as you saw, but we have limited it significantly, as you will see in a minute, through a cost protection program that we have implemented in a couple of weeks. So we are telling about actions that we have decided very fast and we have implemented very fast in March in order to face all this situation. If you go to the following page, which focuses on the cash protection program, the overall actions put in place in order to secure the company are in the region of 220 million euro. So we have drawn our available credit lines, all the available credit lines for more than 40 million. We have negotiated new financings. We have accessed also to government-backed financings in some of the countries where we operate, in Switzerland, but we are going to access as well. We are accessing in Italy and Spain as well for an overall 50 million euro. We have launched a massive communication campaign to our customer base impacted by the COVID-19 cancellations in order to ask them how they wanted to be refunded. And we have launched a massive voucher campaign, last minute voucher campaign, which counts for approximately 100 million euro. More than half is already out on the market, so it has been already delivered to our customers. We are progressing in order to fulfill all the distribution of these vouchers in the coming weeks. And we have also negotiated with some key vendors an extension of the payment terms up to 30 million euro. So the overall action put in place are in the region of 220 million euro. The drawings of the credit lines that we have negotiated or reutilized because they were already existing are represented in the following chart, which shows what has been by month the impact of the working capital effect of the crisis, which is indicated in gray, in particular, for the month of March and the month of April. So you see that there's been a massive, huge impact of €75 million absorption in terms of working capital. Remember, we collect money from our customers 1 or 2 days after the booking date. We pay our supplier 2 weeks for the airlines, or even 50 days after the booking, if we are talking of an hotel, because we pay the hotel at check-in date. So in a normal situation, we have a structural advance of cash. When the business turns, if the business turns, as it was in March, we were not cashing in anything anymore, and we were paying the bookings of let me say, a period where the bookings were 20% higher versus the record year. So that is the effect that we needed to face. So the pink bars of March and April corresponds to drawings of the trade lines that we've done. And a very important message, if you see, is indicated on the right-hand side related to June, but also related to May. So we have started to generate back cash from May, when in the second half the business started to recover. And in June, we have reached approximately €25 million of cash generation, which is improving further our cash situation, which has actually further improved in July. So July is also confirming the trend, and cash is increasing even more. Now, let me, of course, comment on the net financial position that was already indicated before, actually. So, but €33 million at the end of June versus 7.5 million euro at the end of May. So, this is exactly corresponding to the further cash generation that we have had in the month of June. And I therefore will get to the cost protection program that we have put in place. So, that has been always identified and implemented in the month of March, when the crisis spread. So the overall impact in terms of actions amounts to €30 million this year, in 2019. You will see that the biggest part is still to come, because consider that in the first semester are reflected basically the actions of the second quarter, as this decision has been taken during the month of March. We have frozen all the advertising costs. We have cut across the board, where possible, of course, IT expenses. We have implemented strongly the smart working mode, which means also rethinking on our way to use the office space. We have already started to reduce our facilities rentals in order to adopt a more co-working approach, let me say, rather than ensure the presence of a physical desk to our employees all the time. We have, of course, suspended all the business travels, all the training and event costs, frozen the hirings. And the biggest, I would say, intervention has been accessing to all the working hour reduction programs granted by the states where we operate, mostly, you know, in Switzerland. In Switzerland, the state gives back up to 80% of the reduced working hours a couple of weeks after the end of the month. This is a program that has a 12-month extension. We have accessed this program at the end of March. It's going to be continuing up to the end of March 2021, at least. Of course, this is granted to the company which experience a significant drop in the volumes of the business, like, of course, we did. So all the working hour reduction and the access to local government schemes counts for approximately €19 million. So it's two-thirds of the overall cost protection program put in place. If you go to the following slide, this represents what has been the overall fixed cost base at the end of the first semester versus last year, so 29.5 million euro versus 37, which is a minus 20%. Again, across the board, the working hour reduction impact and the incentives from government impact are indicated in the magenta box, so it's approximately 6 million. Again, this is related to the second quarter only, so it's not related to the entire semester, and this is quite clearly represented in the following slide, which says that at the end, comparing month of month, March 2020 versus March 2018, we have actually achieved a minus 22% of costs, out of which the light pink represents all the running costs, all the operating expenses, let me say, that are running. The other part represents the HR component. But if you focus on the second quarter, which is the most interesting part, so the right-hand side of the pie, you see that the comparison versus last year leads to a minus 40%, to a minus 39% approximately. And this thing is even bigger in terms of, let me say, cost recovery on, of course, on the variable cost pie. Consider that we have suspended all our marketing performance campaign in April up to mid-May. We have started investing again in mid-May, and the results are linked to the steeper recovery curve that you have seen. We have also impacted significantly on our outsourcers of our customer service activities. So we have stopped some activities in some of the outsourcers in order to, of course, adapt our capacity to the reduced volumes that we were having. And so that is reflected into the 5 million euro versus the 48 recorded in the first half of 2019. Having said that, what are the main takeaways of and what we believe is the situation going forward? At the end, we believe that the performance that we are having since when the recovery has started is better than our competitors. There are evidence that we see also on market shares versus the others. We are recovering better and faster. We have a high operating leverage at the end, in order to manage this crisis scenario, which maintains some elements of uncertainty. It's very, very difficult to predict what is going to happen, no? In the fourth quarter, especially. You see that, for example, now since 1 week, all the UK travel corridor to Spain, which is the primary destination in Europe for Britons, and it's number one destination in Europe anyway, now is significantly impacted by the UK government decision to reimpose the quarantine for Britons coming back, and even to reduce, the flight available for that corridor. So very difficult to predict what is going to happen, but we believe that with this action that we put in place, we have equipped in order to pass it better than the other. We have at the end a good cash position. A good cash position, 130 million, over 130 at the end of the semester, even improved in July. Of course, we have debt. We will maintain this debt up to when is necessary in order to achieve a stabilization of the situation. We are multi-product. We have a diversified business proposition. Remember, we don't have inventory. So we are asset light. We don't own charter airlines. We don't own accommodation properties. We build dynamic packages on time, real time, for our customers. That is a demonstration of the asset light structure of our balance sheet. And our shareholders have granted a further potential safety net, which today is absolutely an option. We are not going to utilize it given this situation, which is the share capital increase, which has been approved by the shareholders meeting this morning, in which maybe Nicolò can give a bit of flavor in this conversation. So this is actually the picture that we wanted to represent you, and we are open for any question you may have.
Okay, thank you.
The first question comes from the line of Gianmarco Bonacina with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions, please. Just to give a little bit more visibility on the current trend, if you can give us, if possible, the sales and EBITDA figure for the month of June, because that maybe we can use it for the modeling of the run rate for the second half. Then, in terms of the net cash position, you mentioned July is also improving versus the end of June. Assuming that the business, so there is no second lockdown and the business continues with the current run rate of minus 40 to minus 50 year over year in the second half, do you expect the net cash will be higher than the 33 million reported at the end of June by the end of the year? And also, if you can clarify what will be in the future the impact of the vouchers when they will be used by the customer, both in terms of accounting and cash flow, if any. And the last one, more strategic, in terms of the M&A, clearly with the COVID, the prices for travel assets has clearly decreased. So if you are thinking, given that the cash situation of the company is now stronger than before, you are thinking more actively in terms of consolidating the market, and if you have you are building a pipeline for medium to larger deals, which maybe you can execute over the next 12 months. Thank you.
Okay, let's start from I would say the current trend. No, so you were asking about how the situation is going. So basically, I will give you a flavor of July as well. So in July we are in the region of minus 40% versus last year. Okay, so remember July is our peak month. So the volumes in July have further increased in terms of bookings, but still there is a long way to go in order to recover what was the 2019 figure. We are EBITDA positive. We are business EBITDA positive. We were break even in July, in the month of June. We are positive in July. And we will be positive going forward based on the assumptions that we are doing. We expect stabilization of the volumes going forward, in the sense if there are no further major pandemic waves. So this is the assumptions that we are following. Of course, if there are major pandemic waves, this will be a further issue. But again, we believe that we are equipped. In terms of level of cash, we are going to be between 130 and 150 million euro from now on. So including the end of year. Provided that the curve volumes will stabilize, okay? So still assuming that there is not going to be a major second pandemic waves. And this would correspond to a net financial position, which can be easily calculated deducting the level of indebtedness that we have at the end of June. In terms of vouchers are, I was talking about a 100 million euro program. 60% of that has been already delivered. 2% of the bookings, which are done every day, are paid through vouchers. So there is a very, let me say, limited part, which now is utilized. So out of 100 bookings, which we do every day, 2 only are paid through vouchers. We are expecting in our cash position that this percentage will increase, though. So we are assuming a conservative approach based on that. The vouchers are valid up to 18 months in line with what is prescribed by the various regulations in the various markets where we operate. Maybe, Nicolo, you want to comment on the M&A?
Yes, of course. So, yes, the situation is truly fluid now. You know that we are saying that probably we are performing better than the average of the market, but we are saying that we are still minus 50% compared to last year. So our positive situation is something that is still something more like a crisis in any case. And I think that this is the situation for everyone out there. So now, of course, some opportunities can arise. And due to the fact that we have secured the business and we have secured our cash position, and at the end of the year, if it, this will be the case, according to the scenario that Sergio was talking about before, having this amount of cash available, of course, we can think to capture some opportunities that will arise. But today on the table, there is nothing truly concrete. I think that all the companies today in the sector are very focused more on securing their business and trying to do their best in order to preserve the value of their assets more than discussing with counterparts. But we, as always, we are very attentive and we are very proactive. As always, we act more as a consolidator than a consolidating across the market. And so having this good financial position and a business model that demonstrated to work very well, even in this uncertain scenario, we are well positioned to play an active role when the situation will be clearer than today. There are all the conditions to do, but today there is nothing on the table that can be disclosed or can be considered concrete, let me say.
Thank you.
We have a question coming from the line of Baptiste de Lodeville with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hello, Nicolo and Sergio. Do you hear
hello?
Me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, okay. Hello, guys. A few questions. First question, when will you be, when will you feel more comfortable in marketing the dynamic packages? You said that you are rather conservative on marketing this, those products because you're a principal agent and you want to avoid any risks of big waves of cancellations if the sanitary conditions go go worse. So yeah, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean actually we are. Started to push on the dynamic package again, but it really depends on the overall conditions of you know of the virus. So when we say that we are a bit cautious related to the dynamic packages, it's more related to the farther departure dates. So here the risk is not really related to August, but it's more related to what can happen in the last quarter. So that is where we are taking a more cautious approach because we really don't know what is the situation apart from the recession. I'm just talking about you know the spread of the virus that could arise in September or October when the autumn will go back. So, you know, dynamic packages are actually equally divided between city breaks and sun and beach. So the people who wanted to buy a sun and beach already did, more or less. So, I mean, in July, dynamic packages has increased significantly. Now, of course, there is a question mark related to it, to the UK, because, again, Spain is the major tourist destination for the UK travelers. Since when the government has put this restriction, we have seen a slowdown in the last week related to the UK to Spain dynamic package corridor, not only the flight, but also the UK. What we are doing is being more cautious in the sale of the first quarter, of the last quarter, sorry, related to the dynamic package, which means decide what to sell and what still hold in order to sell. So this is the thing that we are carefully evaluating in order to avoid, you know, to have a similar problem to the one that we have faced in the month of March and April. So the answer at the end is that we are going to, you know, carefully monitor what is the situation and tailor the decision on what to sell based on you know, the overall conditions. But we are pushing. We are pushing anyway. So the dynamic packages versus what was the situation of the beginning of March, of May, and second half of May have increased significantly.
Thank you. The second question is about the government supporting measures. Do you still benefit from any government supporting measures to date?
Absolutely.
Or is it over? Yeah.
Okay. No, absolutely. 19 million euro is what, 19 is what is going to be accounted for in the P&L this year, out of which I would say 6 to 7 million is what has been accounted for in the first half, which is related to the second quarter only. So the remaining part, which will be the second half. And the biggest chunk of that is related to Switzerland.
Where I would say also the mechanism is the one that works better in general in terms of a process and in terms also of length of the program, because it will expire the first window by the first Q 2021, but it can be extended up to September 2021. It depends on the conditions of the market and the performance of the group, but it's something that is really conveying a very oxygen to the P&L of the group, considering that half of the cost base related to human resources resides in Switzerland.
Okay, a question: when I look at the slides, so you said 30 million cost savings. I understand, looking at the slides on fixed cost base, that about 7.5 million out of those 30 million are already
yes, exactly,
in the books.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Okay. Okay. And a question also, looking at the slide after this one, if I had the 4.8 to the 11.9, I was expecting to, by adding those two, to fall on 29.5. Is it something I'm missing? Because you said at the end of March 2020, you have a cost base of 4.8, and then in Q2, a cost base of 11.9. So I'm wondering, do you know what I mean? Or?
No, probably we didn't get the point, but the slide that make focus on the effect of the cost protection program was made in order for you to understand that in March, first of all, we have been very quick in reacting to the situation, and only looking at March, we have been able to reduce the cost base, the fixed cost base, by 22%. Then in the right-hand side of the slide, we have a focus on April, May, and June, the second quarter. So it's another number that doesn't talk with the previous one, which is 11.9, which is the accumulated amount of cost sustained in the second quarter, which has to be compared to the 19.4. And then after having been quick in reacting, we're also being very, concrete in determining a cost reduction, which was minus 40%, which was a great result considering that we are talking about fixed cost base. But I don't know if I necessarily got your point. So that,
it's okay. It's not important. I have the big picture, and it's okay. Thank you. A last question. I think, Sergio, you said that you were expecting, when you were answering the last question, you said that you were expecting stabilization of bookings going forward. Can you repeat why?
Because, I mean, our assumption, I mean, as you know, we are not giving out any guidance because this would be probably not so steady exercise in this moment. But the assumption that we are working internally is that if there are no major pandemic waves, we are going to continue with the number of bookings per month, which will be more or less in line with, slightly less than what we are doing in July, and in the region of minus 40% versus last year going forward. This is the assumption.
So,
we are doing is that if you look at the monthly booking profile of 2019, we are going to be in the region of minus 40 going forward. This is what which is better than the first semester, but still a long way to go.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andrea Scauri with Lemanix. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on Destinazione Italia. I don't know if it is still alive. If so, I was wondering how much was the loss in terms of EBITDA of Destinazione Italia. If there is a loss, given that this tentative partnership didn't work even without COVID, I was wondering if are you planning to shut down this joke, in my view. Second question on the capital increase that you have approved today, given the positive assumptions that you are providing us on the cash, I'm again wondering what is the rationale behind this approval of capital increase. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, pleased to meet you. This is Sergio speaking. So regarding Destination Italia, of course, every one of us is disappointed about the fact that, we need to postpone what is the EBITDA break-even. As I was mentioning, out of the venture loss, 1.8 million comes from Destination Italia. Here, the plan was to reach a EBITDA break-even in the second semester of this year. Of course, this will not happen. Destination Italia is even greater impacted than us, no? Because they have a different business model. It's a traditional tour operator. It's focused on Italy. So it's probably for them is even more difficult. Despite that, the partnership with Intesa is a partnership, of course, which is long-lasting. The idea is that these guys are doing all the cost reduction actions necessary, accessing to the government incentive schemes in Italy as well, in order to cut the costs and have a plan to be and recover, unfortunately, 1 year later, what is the EBITDA break-even. So we need to expect a loss this year. Next year, hopefully, we are going to be.
Could you please be more precise? What is the loss that you expect on
1.8 in the first half, 3 million in 2.5 to 3 million at the end of the year.
Okay, sorry, Sergio, if I insist again on this. You are working on the cost side.
Yeah.
You are, at the moment, unfortunately, it's not depending on you, obviously, a tough scenario given the COVID. This venture didn't work, I repeat,
even in good times. I'm still wondering, what do you expect to shut down this business? From a shareholder point of view, I would be pleased if you take all the efforts to shut down as soon as possible this business.
Yeah, this is a shareholder decision, as you can imagine. So, I mean, in terms of management, what we can do is define all the cost recovery action plans in order to minimize what is the loss. But at the end, this is a decision that, as you can imagine, it's entirely at the end of the two shareholders.
Okay. Regarding the second question that was referring to the capital increase, today the extraordinary general meeting voted in favor of the possibility of giving the mandate to the board of directors to decide whether or not to launch the capital increase, depending on the market situation. What does it mean? It means that we needed, for statutory reason, to pass through an extraordinary general meeting in order to have the mandate to work on this option. And so now the board has granted the access to this kind of mandate and can decide according to the market scenario if this is an option that is needed or not to secure, further secure the cash profile of our company and the business. The reality, as Sergio already said during the call, is that at the today's condition is not an option on the table, in the sense that when we announced to the market at the 15th of May the intention of the shareholders to be supportive, even considering a capital increase, the situation was completely different. At that time, our projections were much more negative than what is happening today. We were expecting to have a June which was in the region of minus 90-95%, as it was April, as it was the beginning of May. Now we are telling a different story. Now we have a cash position that is positive and significantly higher than what we expected to have at this point in time. So today, we want to have this option on the table in order to face a potential new challenge if the scenario will deteriorate in the future. But it's not something that we are discussing in order to launch tomorrow or something like that. It's something that we want to have in our hands in order to be ready for whatever it will happen in the future, because unfortunately the situation is still unclear and it's very fluid. As Sergio said, the decision of the UK government to impose the quarantine for people coming from Spain or moving to Spain is something that was not in our radar until 1 week ago. And so it's something that will have an impact on the booking flow for the next weeks. And so we don't know, honestly. Since we don't know, we want to make sure that the business is in any case preserved, secured, and we have all the instruments in order to maintain the business up and running and the cash profile positive in order to face all the challenges of the future.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for clarifying.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
Okay, if I think if there are no questions anymore, I would thank all the audience and participants. Thank you very much for joining today. And we will give further current trading update in the next months. We have planned already in November the third quarter release. But probably as we have done throughout these months, we will provide some more flavor even in other occasions due to this uncertain scenario. So thank you very much again. And let's meet again in the next future. Okay.
Thank you very much all. Goodbye.
Bye.